Our New Testament, first New Testament reading is from the book of Revelation. In chapter 7, verse 9 through 17. Hear now the word of our Lord. And this is going through the seals of the seals of Revelation, and so this is in the sixth seal. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" And I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "They have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Now turning to our gospel lesson in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. And give you set this where we are. Jesus has already told them, He has said that I am the good shepherd. And He talked about the sheep pen and the one gate in the sheep pen, meaning I am the way and the only way and the one gate in that you must enter in. And then He says, "I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep." And some of them believed, and the rest of them wanted to stone Him. And so it says, "And then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around Him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" And it goes on to tell you how they wanted to pick up stones and stone Him at that point. But this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, as I discussed with our children earlier, we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. And we know that he refers to us as his sheep. But unlike the metaphor used in the Revelation reading, where the Lamb is Jesus, and they're referring to the Lamb that was sacrificed, that God sacrificed so that we might have life, just as in the Old Testament the Jews would sacrifice a lamb so that they might be forgiven their sins and have life. Jesus refers to us as lambs, not as sacrificial lambs, but as lambs who are cared for by the Good Shepherd, which is Christ. David read the familiar scripture in the 23rd Psalm. I was at a funeral yesterday, and we read the 23rd Psalm. So often that's the main place that you hear the 23rd Psalm, is at funerals. It's a good scripture for funerals. I've used it myself in funerals. It's a good scripture for funerals. But funerals are not about the dead. Funerals are about the living. The 23rd Psalm is not a scripture of death and mourning. It's a scripture of life and rejoicing. The 23rd Psalm is a scripture that gives hope. The 23rd Psalm is scripture that tells us that we are never alone, that we will face things. Surely we will face things, but we do not face them alone, that we face them with the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. But what are the sheep supposed to do? The sheep need to follow the shepherd. The Good Shepherd says that the sheep know his voice, but the sheep have to listen. When the sheep don't listen, what happens to the sheep? The sheep get scattered. The sheep wander off. The sheep get lost. The sheep fall into harm's way. When the sheep don't listen to the shepherd's voice, they are in grave danger. They have pain. They have suffering. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. But sometimes we don't like to hear the voice of the shepherd. Sometimes we would rather go our own way. Sometimes, like the wayward sheep, we would like to get off and get off the grass, out of the grassy meadows, and go out into the wilderness a bit. The world is constantly drawing us away from the flock. The world is constantly drawing us away from the Word, the voice of God. The world's voice is louder. Sometimes it seems like a lot more fun. It's more interesting sometimes. The world's voice is accepted by our friends and families. The world's voice calls us not into discipline, but into conformity. The world's voice calls us not with a closer relationship with God, but calls us to avoid standing out and being different. The world's voice calls us to be part of the gang, part of the family, part of the party, part of the joy. God's voice calls us to be obedient. God's voice calls us to serve, and the world calls us to look out for number one. The world's voice calls us to go for it, to enjoy it. You only go round once. I think that the wonderfully done ad of Korean Airlines really says it well. It's all about you. And it constantly tells you about you. And they do this for you. And you are important, and you need to do this for you. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that ad, other than it goes against everything the Bible says. But we don't expect ads to be biblical anymore. But we live in a world that is calling us to accept what the world says as the gospel, as the good news. Where we are told to believe what the world believes and to put aside what the word says. If we are the sheep, if we are the lambs, if we are the flock of the Good Shepherd, then there's only one voice that we can listen to. There's only one voice that we can obey. As he said, there is only one way into the sheep herd. It's through the gate. The gate is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way. Not one of the ways, not one of many ways, not one possible way. He says, I am the way. But more importantly, he says, I am the truth. So while there's only one way, it's not a dangerous way, it's not a scary way, because it's the truth. He says, I am the truth. The 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. Elsewhere in the book of Matthew, Jesus gives us the wonderful symbolic picture and says, my yoke is gentle, my yoke is light. And he tells us to be yoked with him, and he refers to the yoke that the oxen and the work animals of that day would have worn, where the hard wood yoke that goes, and with the ring that goes around their neck, and they worked, and the two are yoked together and they work together. And Jesus says his yoke is gentle. He's easy. Walking with Jesus is the easy way. Fighting against it, what we read a couple weeks ago about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. I think we read that in here. Maybe we did it in Bible study. I get mixed up. I know we did it, went through it in Bible study. Forgive me. But the story is familiar with you, for you. That John, the Saul, then later called Paul, was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians there. And Jesus knocked him down and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And the scripture tells us that you continue to kick against the goads. The goad is the prod that they would use when they had oxen yoked together. And they would take the sharp end stick and they would prod it to move the way they wanted it to. And the oxen would kick at the stick. And he said, why do you kick at the goads? And that's what we frequently do. The shepherd tries to lead us into his righteous way, and we kick at the goads. We struggle, we fight. It is our nature. I know it's my nature. The world has an advantage. The world calls us to our nature. Jesus Christ calls us beyond our nature. The world promises us happiness and things, and Jesus Christ promises us peace and life eternal. Yes, we do follow the Good Shepherd, but we also have to be the good sheep. Jesus Christ knows us by name, and He knows you and I personally, and He knows our hearts completely. He knows our fears, and He knows our weaknesses, and He knows our strengths. And He knows that we have times that we are under great peril. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff are there to prod us, to goad us, to keep us where we belong, to keep us in the flock, to keep us as one of the sheep. The good news is that He prepares a table for you, and He is prepared to anoint your head with oil, and He is prepared to give you life and give you life abundantly. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of love. It is a psalm of joy. It is a psalm of peace. It is a psalm of hope. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm that shows a person who is reconciled with God, who is at peace with God. When David wrote this psalm, David was giving thanks to God that God had brought him through this wilderness, that God had brought him back into the flock, that God had made him one of His own and was calling him by name, and that he and God have a personal relationship. Jesus calls His flock together. It is interesting that Jesus didn't call individual sheep to go their own way, to go and send this one this way and that one that way and another way. But He calls His people together. We're gathered here together today. But there are so many that are not here today. There are so many people in the community who do not go to church. There's even members of this church who do not attend on a regular basis. It is our responsibility as part of the flock to draw those people in, to reach out to those people, to bring them into this flock of Christ's sheep. It is our responsibility to bring them in, to, if they don't know where the gate is, to show them the gate. If they don't know where the word is, to share with them the word. If they don't know that they are lost, to help them to understand that they are lost. You know, sometimes the sheep get away from the flock and don't even realize that they're lost. It's up to those members of the flock to share that word with them, to help them to understand that they are lost, that they do need to come back and be with the flock and to worship with their brothers and sisters. And it is not an accident that the gospel refers to us as brothers and sisters. It is completely consistent because we are called to love one another as we love ourselves. We're called to love one another as Christ has loved us. And so Christ refers to us as brothers and sisters, as members of a family. And don't you know, when you have a member of your family who is lost, it is your responsibility to reach out to them. And it's our responsibility to reach out to the members of the flock that are lost, or those who simply wandered away. I encourage you to spend some time thinking about those in the community, those in the family, those around us who have gotten away from the flock, who've gotten away from the fellowship with their brothers and sisters on a regular basis, to reach out for them and everything. Let them know. Sometimes the sheep need to know that they're missed. Sometimes the sheep need to know that they have brothers and sisters who care about them. I would encourage you to reach out to them, to look for them, to rejoice with them when they return. Amen.